Let's get back to our discussion of all the craziness in the UFO field. You know, what is it, Bill, I'm going to start with you. What is it about UFOs that attracts so many crazies, liars, and frauds? I mean, we've all been to the UFO conferences. You've got really good speakers at a lot of these conferences. And you look out in the audience, and there are, quite frankly, a lot of nutballs who are drawn to this.
Well, I think there's a wide spectrum. On the one hand, you really have some people who probably have some legitimate stories to tell. So I want to really focus on the legitimate folks, because Betty Hill sounds like a nutcase, right? I mean, she sounds like she's way, way out there. And yet, when you look at her story, and she's been at conferences, and I remember seeing Betty Hill on the TV circuit maybe 15 years ago when my wife was doing it for with this book we did. She did. There was Betty Hill walking around with this alien head at these local talk shows and getting on the air, and you'd think this person really needs a good therapist. Turns out that her story is rock solid. Whether it's true or not is something else, but the fact is she was legitimate. But you do have people out there who glom on to UFOs because it's exotic, it's different, it's a great excuse. Imagine if everything goes wrong in your life, right? And you can blame it on an alien abducting you and making your life more than difficult. It's great.
But the subject also holds promise, I think.
And I think it's a lot of promise. And I think that people have reported strange beings speaking to them from all the way back, right, from Ezekiel, and even before that, Joan of Arc. So now it's UFOs. In this upcoming issue of UFO Magazine, we have Colin Bennett writing an article on the UFO myth, and he addresses specifically what you asked, George. Why are so many people drawn to the field of UFOs? Because it is a form of myth, right? You've got serious scientists, serious researchers, people who do serious investigations in all the different aspects, but you also have this large group of people for whom the promise of UFOs, the promise that there's something out there, something different, exotic, something that will make their lives better, that will talk to them, that will show them the future, that promise will draw them to it, and they'll hoax stories, they'll tell wild stories, they'll delude themselves into absolutely almost near psychotic thinking, and yet they'll be very happy about it. And you see that in all these conventions.
And you know, you also know, Vicki, you know as well as anyone, that is used by the skeptics, the debunkers, the critics. They see people with problems in their lives, and they say, aha, that's why these folks are chasing the UFO story. It's because they're missing something in their lives. It's their religion.
Personal problems, yes. Yeah, but there's a whole undercurrent in the field of the phenomenon, or whoever is driving the phenomenon can heal the planet. There's a whole undercurrent of people that are drawn to that promise, I think, and that could be called the contactee segment of life, you know. And that's those very contactee people that ended up being hoaxers, or, you know, just totally illegitimate, like the Adamskis, etc., became the target of the skeptics and the scientists that wanted to make sure that people understood that there was no reality to this phenomenon. They pointed at the contactees, and a lot of them were out there doing their thing, craziness, you know, taking their little trips to Venus in the scout ships and all that sort of thing. You know.
But look at the power of UFO cults, Vicki. Look at how many UFO cults have come up. You've covered them. We've covered them. And don't you think there's an enormous power in being the leader of just such a cult?
Absolutely. And that's why they're drawn to this. The guru complex. It's, again, what it is. There's so many people out there that just don't have the ability or the desire to think for themselves.
And look at all the cults that have come up. I mean, the Raelians, the people who follow Billy Meyer, the George Adamskis.
Right.
Right?
Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate, sure.
Yeah, now that's a case of the most extreme, where these people ended up committing mass suicide. I mean, it's horrible. And then people like Phil Klass glommed onto that and use that as an example of why all UFO or UFO investigations, research, whatever, is dangerous.
And Don, you put your finger exactly on one of the problems of ufology, which is it's either black or it's white. There's no middle ground. You've got the skeptics who say we are creating, we're the worst people in society. What did Harlan Ellison once say on television to me? He said, shame, shame, shame for what you're doing talking about UFOs and they're not real. So it's either all black or all white. The skeptics say that we're all crazy, we're wrong, we're the ones causing the problem. Then you've got the crazies, the nuts and the cult leaders out there who claim they're the ones being anointed by the UFOs, by the people who inhabit the UFOs, and then somewhere in the middle, In the middle, you've got people very quietly researching the cases, right, Don? Pouring over documents.
But it's hard to do that when you have those two forces on each side. It's
and they
confusing.
Tear you apart, don't they, Vicki?
It's horrible. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's after 20 years of looking at it, it's like I'm stepping a little bit away from it now in my life. So.
But unfortunately, that is the company we keep if we as journalists are covering this subject, because you go to a conference, I'm sure a lot of the letters to the editor that you folks get at the magazine are just right off the wall. I know the kind of phone calls I get.
Yeah.
Well, you know, George, I was in a previous lifetime, I was a cop. Before I medically retired. And when I became involved in this, it was strictly from the standpoint, I'm going to go where the facts take me. Now, when I was a police officer, over the years, I dealt with various crazy people. And I'm certainly not a psychologist or an analyst. I have no idea what makes some people tick. But we have seen some extraordinary cases pop up that seemingly come from whole cloth, and as a matter of fact, not too long ago we ran one in an examination of one case in the magazine called Project Serpo.
Yep, we're coming right back to that too. We're going to spend a good chunk of time on that.
Oh, okay. Well, did you want me to hold off on that?
Yeah, why don't we? Because I think we're coming up on a break here in a couple of seconds. But Serpo is going to be the next topic we discuss. Vicki, I know this is past your bedtime. Are you sticking with us for a while?
You know what? You're being so kind to me. I will hang out for another 20 minutes or so. How does that
All mean? Right, put on a cup of coffee. And stay with us.
Make sure it's the vanilla coffee, Vicki. That's what keeps you up.
Oh, that sounds terrific.
I'm just being told that we do have about a minute and a half, so let's go back to you, Don. I just wanted to ask you this question. You didn't really answer it for me. What is it about UFOs that attracts so many crazies, liars, and frauds?
Well, this is a field that anybody can become a part of. There is no university degree for this. There is no trade school to go to. Anybody can go out and hang a sign on their door that says UFO investigator. Now, with that in mind, over the years, many, many people have. Now, the thing that makes us at UFO Magazine, I think, in my opinion, a little different than so many, I have always tried to examine where the facts go. If somebody comes out with a story that appears to be too good to be true, chances are, George, it's too good to be true.